Welcome back to Brain Body Movement, the podcast for those interested in everything nutrition, training, and mindset. I'm one of your hosts, Brad, and I'll be joined by my co-host, Brock. In today's episode, we did overrated or underrated. We went through 16 categories and gave our opinions whether they were overrated, underrated, or properly rated. And if you haven't already, could you please rate and review this podcast? We really appreciate the feedback. It helps us improve the podcast and helps us spread out good information on health and fitness. Thanks again for listening. All right, enjoy the show.
All right. Overrated, underrated, barbell bench press.
Ooh. Yeah, it's probably overrated. There's not many times you have to push something off your chest when you're on the floor. And because it's bilateral as well, the weaker side always would not develop as much as say like a dumbbell press.
Yeah, fair.
You?
Oh, I thought you were just going to answer and then you're going to hit me with one.
Oh,
But I can
okay.
answer, but I can answer too.
Yeah.
You
Well,
want me to answer as
yeah,
well?
give us your thoughts on it as well.
Yeah, I'd say overrated. Purely for the fact of a machine or just dumbbells are a lot better for building the pecs. And like you said, it's not exactly highly functional.
Yeah.
For those that are playing like an NFL or a rugby league or a rugby union, an incline bench press would be a better option because you're pushing, but yeah, I think it's relatively overrated. I mean, you can lift a lot heavier loads because it's a barbell, and
Yeah.
the stability factor is taken out of dumbbells, but yeah, I think it's overrated.
Yeah. It exactly to your point. Being flat as well, it like the incline still hits your middle pec part anyway, so
Yeah. Okay, hit me with one.
BCAAs.
Yeah, overrated. Overrated. Yeah, if you're eating sufficient protein, you do not need BCAAs at all whatsoever. You're getting enough of the branched chain amino acids through the protein that you're consuming. So completely unnecessary, and it creates for really expensive urine.
Yep, sure does. Just definitely overrated. Even the ECAAs as well. ECAAs?
Yeah, that's just a marketing term, right? These ones are the essential ones
The
of the
essentials,
branched chain amino acids. So just get these ones in.
Getting enough protein in is your best bet. Don't waste your money.
Yeah, you're best off just having a scoop of protein powder. I mean, that's going to have the amino acids in it. So yeah, do that. Okay, overrated, underrated. McDonald's.
Fucking hell. Maccas. It's overrated. It's fucking shit. I hate it. It's doesn't taste good every time that I have it. Apart from a McFlurry.
Yeah, I was just about to say the McFlurry and a chocolate thick shake.
Yeah, maybe. But going there for like a meal for your health, nah. And I think it's because when we were younger, I don't know about you, but we had our birthdays at McDonald's. So it's very inbuilt with the kids' Happy Meal and stuff. Made us happy and a long time customer for a lot of people. Like I might not go there all the time, but if I do, it's for a McFlurry. But I'm gonna say it's still overrated because most of the shit on there I don't really have.
Yeah, let's take health out of it. I want to get an overrated, underrated just for taste. Do you like the taste of it?
I like the taste of the chips. But over time, I did like the what was that? The Mikos burger. When they'd bring in with beetroot, that was probably my favorite. But the Mikos, I don't think they do it anymore. So it's shit.
Yeah.
Maybe the cheeseburger, but that's about it. Why do you like it?
Look, I'm totally with you. Overrated on both health and convenience. Obviously, with the health, underrated are the little packs of cookies you can get. You can still get them.
I
You know the
didn't.
ones I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Oh, they're little tiny cookies. They're underrated. And then
What
I
fucking
think
cookies? What
a
cookies?
little
Now you make me want to
McDonald's
go to
cookies.
Macca's to go to get cookies.
People will be screaming at you, going, "What? You don't know the Macca's cookies?"
No, I don't.
They got like what's his name, like Grimace or
Oh,
something, and then
Grimly.
Ronald and yeah, whatever it is.
No, I have no idea. I think
So
that's from
those
Lord of
little
the Rings.
cookies, they're underrated. Not many people ever will consume those. And then overrated, pretty much everything else properly rated is the McFlurry and the Thick Shake. I think everyone knows they're elite. Taste wise, I don't really like anything there except for McFlurry Thick Shake cookies. I mean, that could be
You don't like the
a bit.
chips?
The chips are okay, but I prefer a thicker cut chip. They're so thin.
Got you.
Like I prefer thicker, so
You prefer the thickness
yeah.
of it, don't you?
Yeah,
So
just like my humans.
your human third leg. So here's a tip. I shouldn't really be giving this tip, but I'm going to give it anyway because people still go to Macca's, people still get fast food and that. When you are going through a drive-through, or if you're ordering at like these restaurants that aren't the best for your health, let's say, if you're going to order chips, you have to order fresh chips because they just give you the shitty chips that have just been sitting there for ages. And if you say that you don't like Macca's chips, it's because you haven't had them fresh. So the same when we go to like Guzman's and that. Off like fucking every single time you got to ask for fresh chips, and you got to check because they're like, yeah, they're fresh. You fucking check because they're not always fresh,
Yeah.
and they taste significantly better. So it's just a little tip for you. That's yeah, I shouldn't really be giving it, but anyways.
That
All right, here we go. Fast cardio.
was my next one.
Oh, is it nice?
Yeah, I knew we'd have a crossover. I'm on the fence here.
So properly rated.
I think the reason that people promote faster cardio because it burns more fat, which is true, it does burn more fat, but doesn't mean you will lose more fat. I think for that reason, overrated. There's been like a some sort of magical thing for burning fat. Underrated in the terms of people just need to move more, and starting your day with a walk and a health conscious action is probably a good thing to do. So I'm a little bit on the fence with this one. Overrated for the reasons the bros talk about it, but I'm fully on board with it because on days that I'm not working in the gym first thing in the morning, I do it. And it's just because it's a health conscious action to start my day. It gets the blood moving around my body, and I just like starting my day like that. What about you?
Yeah, I'm in between properly and overrated. It's definitely not underrated. Nah, fuck, I'm going overrated. It's still fucked. Like I wouldn't consider a walk bar like cardio. I would just
Oh,
consider that
you're talking going in on a
an
treadmill or an
actual
elliptical or.
treadmill and then and go, I'm fucking going in the fat burning zone right now. Let's fucking do this shit. That's definitely overrated.
Overrated.
And yes, you do burn more fat at that present moment, but over a 24-hour period, it doesn't matter, especially because your body's so smart, it'll just like downregulate other shit and just use glucose later for fat burning. So, or for the fuel. And then it all comes down to the deficit, doesn't it? So, yeah, I'm still going overrated for that shit.
Okay. Next one. Overrated, underrated. Renegade Rose.
Those things that you're like, are they the ones how you're like in a plank and then you're just like
So
doing those?
you're holding a plank and you've got
Yeah.
dumbbells in front, and then
And
you
then you
do a
row
row.
up. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's well overrated, bro. That's like, that's some boot camp shit. Okay to get a little sweat on and stuff. But you're doing, you probably won't get a big enough stimulus on your back if you're doing rows like that. And there's not a lot of stability as well because you've got basically on your toes and then you're holding another dumbbell while you're on the ground. Maybe good for core. But what are you training for, really? I guess it comes down to what are you training for? Still overrated, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm very much on the overrated side of things with this. Just do a plank, just do a row, like separate the two movements. If you're wanting to train like that lateral hip shift or torso shift stability by lifting an arm off the ground, just do shoulder taps. Don't load it because you may train a poor recruitment pattern with your rows, which when you actually go into rows, you've now created this poor recruitment pattern by doing it in an unstable environment. So just do your planks and just do your rows, and then they would be properly rated. But combining them, just combining exercises in general, I mean, fairly overrated. So,
Overrated. Yeah.
yeah. So, yeah, I think just separate the two and you're good to go.
Okay. Is training to failure overrated or underrated?
In our little health fitness sphere, overrated. General population, underrated. Reason being, the health and fitness sphere constantly push to failure regularly, and far too often to a point where it's probably detrimental to their recovery. Underrated for the general population because they probably don't have a true understanding of what failure is and what it feels like. So they could probably utilize it a little more just to go, yep, that's what failure feels like. I literally cannot do another rep, because understanding that of the point where you fail is quite pivotal in seeing progress and not overtraining whilst seeing progress. Because you want to do the least amount of work to elicit the most amount of change. And you want to keep just bumping that up. What's the most amount of change I can see here with the littlest amount of work, and continue to bump those two up.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would have gone to as well. Overrated for the fitness industry and underrated for general pop. People just don't know how close they can get to failure, and they think that they're working hard when really they're like, I had one time it was like 14 extra reps when they said they couldn't do any more. So it's that, I guess you just don't know until you get there, and then you have to kind of go to that failure all the time to then to bring it back. Like I only sparingly do it, but if I was to give one thing, it would probably be properly rated then. If you got both ends of the thing to bring it to the middle, I guess we're all about nuance here, so you'd have to say the opposites.
Yeah. Okay. Next one. Overrated, underrated. Eating out for breakfast.
Eating out for breakfast, fuck me, wow. I mean, you can do whatever the fuck you want. I mean, I think it's, that is a hard one for
Yeah,
me.
that's
I'm going to say overrated for the fact that for me, breakfast is usually like a shake and a bar or something now, and it's nice, quick, and easy so I can get to work. Whereas if you're starting your day with like going out for breakfast in my field of business, you're wasting a lot of time already, unless it's for like a business meeting or something. And for health reasons, like you're pretty well setting yourself up for, oh, I've had like this good breakfast, but some people might not have the good breakfast in the morning if they're out. So it's already starting with high calorie, which isn't so much bad, but it's more like, well, now what? You got to have those other meals got to be pretty dialed in. Whereas when you're have all your dialed in, get your protein early in the day, and then that last meal can be a little bit more, I guess, delicious. I would prefer that, but I guess it depends on the person, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it very much depends on the person and what they do for work as well. For me, eating out for breakfast, overrated. I can cook very similar meals at home for about a third of the price and have pretty much similar taste quality. I get to control everything if I wanted to. For me, the reason I eat out is for the experience, connection, and to eat something that I can't make. Majority of the breakfasts I can make myself, and I do make myself, but there's some meals that I just cannot replicate. So that's where I'll go and eat out, because it's something that I can't do. So that's for me what an eating out thing is. It's the experience, the conversation with whoever I'm sharing that experience with, and then eating food that I'm like, there's no way I'm making this at home. Okay, hit me with one.
Okay, long length partials.
Yeah, this is a great one. They're very, very trendy at the moment. I think they're overrated for a few reasons. The literature's coming out that it's showing that you get a little bit of benefit from them in terms of hypertrophy. However, some exercises lend best to being contracted in the shortened position. I mean, there's not a whole lot of load going through the delts on a lateral raise. So long lengthened partials there, probably not the best exercise to be doing them with. Second reason. So first is they don't lend themselves well to every exercise. Second reason is a full range of motion has stood the test of time. Plus, if you're constantly training in these long lengthened partials, are you going to be getting the mobility benefits of training? Are you going to be getting the benefits of training your muscle through all different lengths? Third is, I think it's encouraging people to push to a point well beyond failure. Like, I don't think anyone's going into a set and going, oh, I'm just going to do long length and partials. Can you imagine long length and partials on a deadlift, by the way? Like, but I don't think anyone's going into a set being like, I'm just going to do long length and partials. So they're doing their normal five, six, seven, eight reps. And then when they hit that failure point, they're going beyond, and doing these long length and partials. I think you can get there. I think that the reason that these long length partials are so showing an effect is because people are actually training to failure. Like you brought up training to failure before. People are actually training to failure in these studies that haven't previously trained to failure before. So they're getting these stimulus response from training to failure that they weren't normally getting because they weren't training hard enough. But I do think they are overrated. There'll be a fad that comes in, comes out. Yes, there is some scientific literature around them being beneficial. However, science-based, not science-bound. So can use them on some exercises, can use them as an advanced technique for advanced lifters, but for the general population, nah. What waste of time? Train with a full range of motion, improve your mobility, reduce injury risk, train for longevity. Yeah. Plus, they just look ugly.
Well, see, this is where I'm going to say for general population, see this, I'm going to say properly rated. And the reason for it is you got some people out there that are doing exercises that they think they like when they're getting to failure, they think that those last little like not half, pretty well half reps, like if you're doing like a row or something and you're only getting to like the elbow bit. They think that that's like no good at all. Whereas that's still, because that's a long length and partial, that's actually going to still help. But then if you say, oh, they're no good, then they're like, oh, those were wasted. And then they'll stop doing them. So that's why I think there's obviously more research that needs to come about of this. But I think that for the advanced people out there, they're definitely properly rated because they can definitely use them because they're at a point in their life where they need to as much out as possible. And then for general population, thinking like psychology wise, thinking, oh, you know, I can still get these little reps out if I could, if I fouled at this last rep, I can still eke that little bit out if I need to. So that's why I think it's properly rated.
Yeah, no, I get you. I get you. It's definitely an advanced lifting technique. I just want to clarify that to anyone of general population listening. It's an advanced lifting technique. I'm talking 5 to 10 plus years of training in the gym. It's similar to like doing like a really, really heavy drop set of something. And I want to clarify, not applicable to all exercises. Don't do heavy length and partials on barbell squats. Don't do heavy length and partials on deadlifts. Like,
No.
okay, overrated, underrated, intermittent fasting.
I think intermittent fasting is properly rated. The reason for it's not like magic, but it does help with controlling calories when you have no idea about calories because you've got a certain time that you eat, and then from that time there's a certain hour up until you can eat, and just gives you some good guidelines to control your calories. Now you can obviously take it to the extreme and then eat everything in those few hours, which is why I like a good 8 to 10 hour window, whereas the 4 I think is a little bit too much. So when we say specifically intermittent fasting, 8 to 10 hours. I don't like the Warrior one, which is like 4 hours or whatever, or one OMAD, like one meal a day. I don't like them. But yeah, if we're gonna say intermittent, like 10 to 12 or 8 to 10, sorry.
16,
Then
16, 8 is the common one.
yeah, 16, 8. So yeah, 8 hours fasting. 8 hours eating, sorry. So 8 to 10 hour eating window is good. That's how I found a lot of success in London. I would do that. So I'm probably biased when it comes to shit like that. So you've obviously got caveats, but I think it's properly rated, especially when you're trying to teach older clients about calories and they get a little bit confused because they've been told all this time that fat is bad for you, like if you have all this kind of shit, like even though like saturated fat and trans fat and that is, but yeah, it's just an easy say, all right, just eat between these times to start off with until we like educate you a little bit more on calories, macros, and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think it's properly rated.
Yeah, I think it's underrated, especially as a tool
Interesting.
for fat, for seeing fat loss. Just because it just delays that first meal, and then you can feel like you're eating larger meals later in the day, and they're a bit closer together. So all you've got to do is get yourself through to a certain time, and then you go, okay, now I know I can have my first meal, and you know it's just that time each day. And like you said, whilst they're in this intermittent fasting period, or they're using intermittent fasting as a tool to create a calorie deficit without having an understanding of calories, it can be really beneficial that you can educate them on the calorie content of the foods they're consuming during that period, but it can be used as a tool to achieve fat loss. Now, where it goes so wrong is in the way that it's sold. Great for autophagy, great for blah 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 blah. Yeah, whatever,
Controlling blood sugar.
you'll get all those benefits from just being in a calorie deficit. I also think it's underrated as a term, as I also think it's underrated as a use for being productive, especially first thing in the morning. You're not waking up thinking of food. You're waking up going, nah, food's not a thought until, I don't know, midday or 1 p.m. So you can wake up, get plenty of work done, be very productive, be creative if you wanted to be, and you don't have to worry about food for that first 6 to 8 hours of the day. So that's another benefit of it that I quite like. I'm not big on the whole cognitive function and focus, but I am big on the whole just be productive, not think about food first thing in the morning.
Yeah, that's a good one for that. All right. Keto diet.
Overrated. Didn't even have to hesitate. Now this is coming from someone that quite likes fruit. That's not keto. So I love me an apple. I love me berries. I love banana. I like any seasonal fruits. Yeah. Could not imagine living the rest of my life without eating fruit. And for anyone that thinks that fruit makes you fat, my Lord, I don't think anyone gained a whole heap of weight from eating too much watermelon. I've never heard of it. I don't think I ever will hear of it. If someone can gain significant weight from eating too much watermelon, please reach out and let me know.
Reach out, rocking boy.
But yeah, I don't see it as a sustainable diet long term. And I think what you do to lose the weight needs to at least be close to what you do to keep it off. So if you constantly going back to keto, then that diet's not serving you because you're then regaining the weight and you're having to go back to keto, back to keto, back to keto. Plus, you're never going to celebrate a child's birthday and have a piece of cake with your child on their birthday. I know I'll be having cake on my kid's birthday if I'm lucky enough to have kids, that is.
Yeah, definitely overrated keto diet. It's overrated for people that are trying. It's overrated in the fact that it's just absolutely stopping you from eating all the delicious foods in the world, for one. And really, it's was meant for people with epilepsy, like children with epilepsy. So it's meant to, if you are have your carbohydrates low enough and your fats high enough, you're going to get into ketosis, which is just a different form of energy that your brain uses. We're usually using glucose as energy, but once you teach it to use fat for fuel, then you're in what's called ketosis, and it can show up in your blood or your urine. And they say there's cognitive benefits to it or whatever, but it definitely helps with people with epilepsy. So just because of the pathways of that is using fat for fuel, or what they call ketones. But so for them, then that's definitely underrated. But you can also get what, like ketone tablets or whatever they're called, to or just normal tablets, and you can have your cake and have it too. So, and it's a lot harder to get into ketosis. It's not like a day thing. You have to be in it for a little bit. So that's why I'm saying definitely overrated. And if you think that just cutting out a food group and you can stick with it long term and not have the carbs, then fine, go ahead and do that. But for most people, if once you start restricting things, you feel like you're missing out on stuff, that's where you can have a you can create a unsustainable and unhealthy relationship with food, which is not what we want, especially on this podcast. So I still get people asking me about it, and I just let them know, do you want to eat all the delicious foods, or do you want to restrict yourself? And They know their answer by the end of it when I frame it like
it.
that.
Yeah, I think the reason it's so popular and continues to be so popular is you see rapid fat loss or weight loss on it. Sorry, let me. You see rapid weight loss on it because for every gram of carbohydrate you normally consume, you'll hold 3 to 5 grams of water. So if you remove 200 grams of carbohydrates from your diet, you're looking at pretty much 1 kilo overnight gone. So you see this rapid weight loss and you go, oh, wow, this is working. You get a little bit of buy-in. So you push through a bit longer, even though you're probably feeling like shit because you've got no carbs in your system, but you'll continue to push through. And that buy-in of that rapid initial weight loss keeps you going for an extra week or two and keeps you adherent. And then you actually, because you've been adherent, you actually do see a little bit of progress. But then you go, oh, this event's coming up. I'm going to have a drink or two, or I'm going to have a piece of cake to celebrate a birthday, or there's a social dinner out and I can't see anything. Like, yeah. And that's when you'll break, and then it could be like a free for all from there. Because when something's off limits, it's when can I have it? And then when you do have it, it's like, fuck yeah, let's go all in on this bad boy.
And especially if you just have that one night, you've just been cutting carbs all this time, and then it's normal, even just like a normal amount of carbs, like, and then you have like some pizza, and then the extra water and the glycogen and the sodium all add up, and you could see like 2 or 3 kilos on the scale overnight, and then that would just like wreck you, and then it would snowball from there. So you gotta go to know weight fluctuations first if you're gonna do this. But yeah, the benefits, unless you're epileptic, I wouldn't even bother.
Okay, overrated, underrated, ice baths.
Ice baths, cold plunges, overrated in my opinion. You're just getting cold, really. You may get a little bit of like mental fortitude, but it's like you got to go to a place to get cold, and then I don't like being cold anyway. I did cold showers for a while, and it's like nothing even close to it, but I thought I was like hard and shit. If you're living in like a cold climate, I could see some sort of benefit to it because, you're actually going to be cold and you got to survive the winter a bit more. But, we've got heating. And, it may look good on Instagram, but really, apart from maybe a little bit of re muscle recovery after like a, say, like an exercise bout, like if you're playing footy or something, I could see a little bit of benefit for it. But for the benefits that people are spouting off, it's just, I don't see a lot of evidence showing it. So I'm going to say overrated.
Now, this may shock you as someone that regularly does ice baths, but I'm going to say overrated. Now, the reason I'm saying overrated is because people are thinking that this magical thing that builds this vessel or this human, the resilient human that can conquer anything is simply not the case. Yes, you're pushing yourself and challenging yourself to do hard things, but there is other hard things you can do to push yourself if you don't particularly like the cold. There's many other hard things you can do. Go run a marathon, for example. Get back to me. But yeah, I genuinely do think they're overrated, especially for the use of turning white fat into brown fat. What do they say? They say there's a dopamine release. Well, I'm not constantly going back wanting to do more and more ice baths that same day to try and get that dopamine. So if there was a huge dopamine release, then wouldn't I want to be constantly going back and pressing and hammering that dopamine button and getting back in? No, I'm not. So, yeah, I do them regularly. I will do 1 to 2 a week after running, and it's for a little bit of recovery, and it's just an easy way to cool down. But do I think there's anything magical about them? No. Do I think that you should be doing them regularly? No, it's not necessary. But hey, it's something you can do as a social aspect, which I like that. And I like the I'm choosing to do this sort of mindset of like when you're in there and you're like, oh, this is cold, this sucks. It's like, I'm choosing to do this. I'm choosing to do this. I'm choosing to do this. So it does build a little bit of mental resilience, but it's not going to bulletproof you into some amazing human like people are clouding all over the TikTok and gram.
The talk. All right. Step count.
Underrated. We live in a society that does not move enough. Move more. And if a step count is a way to get people to move more, then I am all for it. I know that let's say it gets to 4:35 in the afternoon, I will check my step count. If I'm short, I will go for a walk. And that's a pretty consistent habit that I've built in. 4:35, check my watch. Okay, haven't quite hit my steps today. Go for a short little walk. Or I'll go, okay, after dinner, I'll go for a 5 to 10 minute walk because it'll help with digestion too. But I genuinely think it's something that I don't think people realize how much just moving more can actually move the needle in regards to body composition and just how inactive we are. So definitely, definitely underrated. But I will throw out the caveat, the magical 10K step a day marker, overrated. Just
Yes.
having a marker that is more than you're currently moving, underrated.
Yes, exactly. Step counts are highly, highly underrated for that fact that we're just, most people just aren't moving. You know, they wake up, get ready, drive to work, sit at a desk, drive home, sit on the couch, go to sleep. You might get a little bit of, I go to the gym, but that's like for an hour. And you're probably not getting enough steps in. So unless you have a job that you're moving around a lot or you're taking walks each day, then I would get up and move. The most amount of benefit you'll see is from that, from going up to 6,000 Ks. Like that's the biggest health marker that you can aim for. It's like just hit that 6K first, and then from there it does flatten out a little bit more, but you're still getting gains from six and above. Usually it's around that 6 or 9. 10,000 is a good, I still think it's a good one to hit because most people, they might not hit it, but they'll hit just below it, which is, you know, the 6 to 9. So, but yeah, it's totally underrated. I even just getting people to track what they're, how many steps they're taking, because they just don't know. Like, and they go, oh, I think I'm having this. And then when we actually track it, they're like, wow, I didn't realize on these certain days I'm doing fuck all steps. Okay, me on a Sunday, it is the lowest every single week. And I say, I'll do more. And I just don't. I mean, I was sick this weekend, but still, it was like, I got to get that up a bit higher. It's bringing down my average. I mean, it's not going to affect me too much because my average is, you know, 12,000 or something. But yeah, sometimes that Sunday can get quite low. So I'll try and get above that six. But yeah, it's also gives you more energy. You know, when you're like sitting around all day, and you're just like, fuck, this is shit. And then you're like, oh, let's go for a walk. And then you just, all of a sudden, you're energized and you're moving. It's just like, just start that train running and then the momentum will catch up.
Doing nothing is exhausting.
It's so exhausting.
But I genuinely feel that walking is the single most underutilized and neglected form of exercise that there is in society nowadays. And that's because, like you said, we wake up, we sit in a car to drive to work, we sit at a desk, we sit in a car to drive to the gym, we sit on machines to lift weights, we sit in a car to drive home, we sit on the couch. There's not a lot of movement. We don't even stand up to cook our own dinner. We sit down and we Uber Eats or DoorDash it in. Like,
Use our fingers.
it's becoming a commonly, yeah, if you could get a movement count for your thumbs a day, that would be interesting to see. But just having that step target, particularly in a fatless phase when your body will naturally downregulate its movement, to make sure that you're okay, I'm moving the same amount each day, and that's a variable that's taken out of the equation. Definitely underrated. Okay. Protein bars.
Very same bars. But I'm gonna say properly rated. The fact is, if it can stop you from having a chocolate bar, and it increases your protein and increases your fiber, I'm all for it. The thing is, most of them don't taste the best, and sometimes they do. They can be quite expensive, they can upset people's stomachs. The reason why I'm saying properly is because they are better than a chocolate bar, and you can find good protein bars. And if and I am fine with them, so that's why I think it's properly rated. And you can get them cheap at Chemist Warehouse when they're on half price. So there are ways around it, but it is that. It's in that area of properly to overrated a little bit because Yeah, if you are someone that doesn't really do well with that high fiber, you know, the fiber that they put in there, sometimes they do have like protein blends that don't always sit well with people. Some of them taste like shit and they can be upwards of like $5. Then I would say probably overrated for most of the general population that are into health and fitness. But for us that are loving health and fitness and the bros and Brodettes out there, I guess. Yeah, go for it. I think it's probably rated.
I knew that one would cause you a little bit of stress, a bit of distress answering that one. For me, overrated. I just think the price, and for what you're getting for the price, they're overrated. They're essentially chocolate bars with a little bit of protein. I mean,
Little bit, 20 grams. That's a
yeah,
lot.
you could have half a scoop of protein powder and the chocolate bar, and you're getting this the same effect, really, right? I just think there's a lot of like the artificial fiber. It really upsets a lot of people's stomachs, so that's why I'm going to say overrated. Now, as a convenience factor, like I have protein bars. I have them in my cupboard right now. It's purely for a convenience factor, and I've actually moved away from the bars and to like the crisps. So there's like a
From
Musashi
Quest?
do
Oh, Musashi.
a soy crisp one.
Right.
But Quest also do chips as well, like the potato. The are they potato?
Oh, I'm
Are
not
they
sure.
soy?
I'm not
They're
sure.
some
I just
sort of
saw him.
chip or crisp. No, there's a bar that is like a rice bubbly kind of bar that Musashi do, which doesn't have all this added fiber put into it and doesn't upset my stomach. So I've got a few of those in the cupboard, and it's purely for a convenience factor. Or let's say it gets to the end of the day, and I'm like, oh, I wouldn't mind something a little bit sweeter. Then you can substitute one of those in, rather than going for your full-fledged chocolate.
Yeah, they can creep up, and you got to catch yourself because you know if you're having more than one a day, you're like, well, I could probably get some proper food in. But yeah,
Yeah.
like I said, for breakfast, if I'm like on the go and I just want to like work hard in the morning, yeah, it's just a shake and then the bar right there, and then I'm off to work instead of having a fucking. I don't want a chocolate bar in the morning, so yeah, double the protein with the bar. But yeah,
I get you. I get
yeah.
that. That's a convenience factor thing, right? And that's what I'm talking about. Like, as a convenience thing. So let's say, I don't know, go and catch up with friends on a Sunday morning. We go for a walk, go grab a coffee, and I'm like, oh, I have my laptop with me. I'm going to do some work in town. I can just grab a protein bar on the go, and I can work from on the beach somewhere from a laptop. Like, it's that would be the way I would go, rather than fighting through hunger, fighting through f hunger, fighting through hunger, and you get to lunch and you're like so ravenous that you overeat. So as a convenience factor, or on the go, let's say you're on a long road trip somewhere and you pull into a service station, they've got beef jerky and a protein bar. It's two high protein options, one's sweet, one's more savory. That'd be how I'd utilize you that's how I utilize them anyway.
Oh, definitely. Most servers have them, and they've got the shakes there as well. Okay, pre-workout.
Overrated. Now, reason I think overrated is because people are relying on pre-workout to get them into the gym every single day. If it's used as a way to get you into the gym when you haven't had a good night's sleep, or you aren't feeling the best, but you feel as though you're well enough to train and taking it gets you into the gym, then I'm all for pre-workout. But I think they're overrated, and like you've got to have your pump formula beforehand, or you've got to have your high stim pre-workout beforehand every single time before you train, and people become dependent on them and they can't train without them. I've been there. I mean, I'll put my hand up and be like, yep, there was a phase of my life where I had to take something before I trained every single time. But you don't need it if you're getting sufficient sleep, good quality food, and sufficient food. Yeah, you're pretty much good to go. So, yeah, I would say overrated.
They're definitely overrated for the amount as well, for how much they cost. Some of them, it's basically just caffeine is what's doing it. So just go get some fucking Nodos or have a coffee or something. It's the caffeine that's working the most, and yeah, people do rely on it so much. And Oh, I like the tingles. Fucking get some beta-alanine if you want. Like, it's make up your own concoction. A lot of them are over. But the thing is, I still have it. And we still buy it. Because I do like it when I take it for like legs and that. But yeah, having been relying on it all the time, like I used to have it absolutely all the time, and then I went off it and just had coffees, and now it's like I went on it again, and now it's like sparingly, like here and there. Like I haven't had it for a while, because obviously I'm lowering my intake, but it's, you know, one, depending on how much you have, it can be like a lot of caffeine at one dose, and that's
300
why.
milligrams, 400 milligrams, some of them nowadays.
Yeah, it depends how much you have. That's why you got to weigh that shit. Don't worry. Don't
Yeah.
think if the scoop's gonna do it. But yeah, just yeah, it's definitely overrated, especially for the price point. They can get up to like $50, and you're only getting like 30
It's one of
servings
the
or something.
biggest earners. Pre-workouts and fat burners are one of the biggest earners in the supplement industry. Now, a little subsection off the back of that, because I was going to ask this as the last one, but I'll ask something else. Overrated, underrated, monsters.
Fuck you. fucker. Okay. What do we know? We know they taste delicious. We know they're low calorie. We know they can give you energy. We know they can be cheap certain times.
Plus the carbonation in them, the carbonation can help with you feeling fuller for longer compared to a standard pre-workout.
Got you. I
I'll
think
defend
they're
you a bit here.
thank you. It's for me they're properly rated. But the thing is, for other people, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I've gone a week without them before, and I didn't used to have them a lot either. So I got by without having them. I guess it's one of those things where it's like for me it's probably properly rated, but for everyone else, I wouldn't
You're
say that.
the exception, are you?
Yeah, I'm the exception. No, I wouldn't say they're underrated. They're probably more properly to overrated if you ask me. For a pre-workout though, I think they're pretty good. What about you? What do you reckon?
Yeah, as a pre-workout, all for them. Just randomly having one. I can't say I've ever done that, I don't think. Like just being like, oh, I wouldn't mind some energy. I'll have an energy drink. That's happened maybe one to two times in my life. Each time it has happened, it's either been with you or with Mitch,
Yeah.
because you're both partial to an energy drink. So,
Yeah.
yeah,
I just.
that was just a subsection one off the
No,
back of it.
that's
I just
good.
wanted
That's good. I think
to.
if the thing is as well, like if you don't like water, like these flavored drink, it doesn't have to be a monster. It can be like Coke Zero, no caffeine, whatever. If you're like, oh, caffeine and shit, whatever. Like if it helps you get water in, then I'm all for it, because most of this shit is just water. It's just caffeinated. It's just not caffeinated. Well, it is caffeinated water, but it's like carbonated water.
Flavored.
Yeah, flavored carbonated water with some caffeine dropped in there. I think it's fine. Like, but again, it comes if you are having monsters and you're getting jittery and you're getting anxious, then obviously you need to back up a little bit with them. They can, yeah, it's the caffeine content. Like it is.
Or
And
you are again relying on them. Like
relying on, yeah, exactly.
get
Which,
to 10:30, okay, I have
yeah,
my energy drink now.
which I
Probably not a
was for a
great.
little bit, which is why Ella fucking mad said, gave me the challenge. But I pushed through, which meant that I wasn't full on reliant on the actual drink itself. I think I was more reliant on the caffeine, which is why I'm slowly reducing it here and there.
Okay, my actual final one.
Okay.
Overrated, underrated, not eating after a certain time. So let's say not eating after 6 p.m.
That's overrated. You can eat whenever the fuck you want. There are, like, if you're like what it used to be, like 6 o'clock, don't eat after six. Now that does bleed into the intermittent fasting as well, though. So you could also say, oh, well, it's part of my intermittent fasting. But it's like, well, if you started at 12, then you went to 8, is it the 6 o'clock after eating after six that's the problem? Or is it that you've just now extended it for 2 hours and now you've it's fine? So it's like, well, what actually happens after that certain time? Will you eat certain delicious foods because you're really tired and you're watching a movie and stuff? Like, I can see some benefit there, but knowing that It's just the extra calories. Like, that's what's going on right now. And then it may disrupt your sleep later on in the night too if you're eating too close to bed. So I do see the benefits to it, but it's so overrated with like at this specific time, you need to stop eating. It's like I can see why, but I think it's still overrated in the fact that there is no specific time. Like your body does have like circadian rhythms, like that is a thing, but it doesn't exactly know what time it is. So like if it's 5 past, just fucking have the food. Like don't be so pedantic with it.
Yeah, so this is good because I'm going to be on the opposite side of the fence here, and this has got nothing to do with the bro science side of things, but I think it's underrated.
Ooh.
The reason I think it's underrated is because people are eating far too close to bed, and it's affecting the first few hours of their sleep. And sleep is so pivotal for just being a healthy, functioning human, but also it directly impacts your body composition. The research is pretty clear on that now. When placed in the same calorie deficit, people will lose the same amount of weight. However, the people that are underslept, they'll lose a much larger percentage muscle mass as compared to fat mass. So you want to do everything in your power to regulate your sleep and improve your sleep quality. And eating too close to bed, I feel, is something that quite often happens with a lot of people. Now, let's say it's you go to bed at 10 and you want to stop eating 2.5 hours before bed. That would be 7:30. Let's say it's 7:35. Eat some food. Like, it's not a hard and fast rule. Just try and stop eating within a certain distance from bed, so it gives your body time to digest that food, and then you're not having to pump blood to the stomach to digest food in the first few hours of you sleeping. So that's the reason why I would say underrated. Now, overrated as a tool for fat loss, which is interesting because I said intermittent fasting's underrated. Overrated as a tool for fat loss because it doesn't really matter what time of the day you eat, provided you're in a calorie deficit. And that's essentially the crux of it. So yeah, I think it's underrated because it affects sleep quality, and sleep quality is so pivotal for being a healthy, functioning human, and directly impacts your body composition
Yeah,
as well.
I can definitely see that because,
But
yeah.
I don't want people to think that they can't eat after a certain time. Like, let's say that their bedtime is 10 and they go, "Oh, I shouldn't eat after 7 or 7:30." It gets to 7:45 and you're like, you've had a salad for lunch and that's all you've had all day. You missed breakfast and you've had a salad for lunch. Eat a good, nutritious meal. Like, it's still a total calories thing. It's just going to bleed into your sleep and probably affect your sleep, which could ramp up hunger signaling the next day.
Yeah, I guess it really depends. Like, if you, because you said with, just so I can remember what you said about the not getting enough sleep with the calories, you know, when you said.
No, not getting enough good quality sleep. So, like, let's say the first few hours of sleep are directly impacted because the heart is pumping blood to the stomach to digest the food. So your digestive system is still working, which will affect your sleep quality in those first few hours. So you
Yeah,
may
I.
be asleep the same amount of time, but it directly affects your sleep quality.
Yeah, I just wanted to just to jump back when you mentioned the study about the lack of sleep, because remember
Yep.
that was a lack of sleep. It was like the 5 hours versus 8 hours or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. So that's
That's
what I said.
with the fat.
Yeah. It's a lack of sleep.
Yeah, it's
But
a lack of sleep. But yeah,
let's
I
let's
get that it will affect the quality of the sleep. I just wanted to make sure that people are like, oh, if I eat too close, I'm not going to burn like that amount of fat, like. It can affect the sleep, but still, if you're in that calorie deficit, it won't matter. But making sure that you are still getting the time in bed, like if you had to, like once or twice a week, eat later because you're coming home from later. Like I don't want to discourage people from eating that point
Yeah, I'm the
as well.
same.
Yeah. So I just
Yeah.
wanted to make that clear.
Yeah, you're still best off, and that's what I said. Like, let's say you've had a salad for lunch and you had, I don't know, a protein bar as an afternoon snack, and you get home and you were stuck at work for an extra hour and a half, or kids' sport went later or whatever it may be, and you get home and you're like, "Oh, I've still got to make dinner." That'll be within an hour and a half of bed. Eat that meal, but it will affect your sleep quality in the first 1 to 2 hours, maybe even 3 hours of sleep, because your digestive system's going to be working.
Yeah, and that'll increase your temperature, and you want to be cool when you go to sleep.
Yeah. So you may even find that you have a harder time falling asleep. I know for myself, when I eat closer to bed, I have a much harder time falling asleep. When I eat a lot earlier in the afternoon or night, I fall asleep much easier, and it's just because my digestive system's not working and my body temperature is cooler because of that.
Like, we've just started to push our bring our feeding window earlier, like eating dinner earlier now, because Emma would get home from work and then just have all the stuff. And we're like, all right, let's just have the meal pretty well when you come home. And then, yeah, I think it's going to improve our sleep.
Yeah, it should do. It's and that's the thing that I'm getting at with the not eating after six. It's more the sleep that I'm concerned about rather than eating after a certain time.
Yeah,
What's
because then it
the
comes.
general rule of thumb? 3, 2, 1. So no food within 3 hours before bed, no water within 2 hours before bed, no screens or lights within 1 hour of bed.
Oh, well, I'm fucked because I drink like water rub before I go to sleep, and it's I do wake up in the middle of the night a lot. So I
That's
could
just a general
improve.
rule of that's just a general rule of thumb that I've heard, which I think has some merit. I mean, I eat within 3 hours of bed every single night. I'm jumping into bed at 8, reading for 20 minutes. So I
Yeah.
should be having my last meal at like 5:20. I have my last meal at like 6. So I think 2 is a good rule for food and water, and then screens an hour or half an hour, I think is sufficient.
I guess it depends on what food you're having as well. Like if you're having a massive fuck off steak that's high fat,
Yeah.
high, like you want that as further away as possible. And same with like alcohol. Just if you're gonna have alcohol, you want it like so it's out of your system by the time you go to sleep.
Yeah, so wake up and drink it first thing in the morning.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Shot for breakfast. All right. Last one, here we go. Fitness classes.
Overrated. This is the easiest one to answer out of all of them. Overrated. Great for getting people in the door and great for a sense of community. Shit for actually achieving results. It's not specific or tailored to the individual, which it needs to be. Yeah, I think they're extremely overrated. Repetitive can lead to a lot of injuries. Now I'm talking like a pump class here. It's a repetitive movement that no one's really correcting your technique or walking around the classroom correcting technique. They're up on a stage performing the exercise themselves. Yeah. Highly overrated. If I was to do a group fitness class, it would be something like a CrossFit-esque class where it's still your big barbell compound lifts. I would just like it to be not more, faster,
Yeah, faster, faster.
longer. Yeah, like I still want to execute the exercise correctly, and yes, more load, but not to the detriment of my technique, which I often see in a lot of group fitness, CrossFit-esque classes. Yourself?
Highly overrated. You've got one instructor for like 30 plus people. Like, imagine trying to, like, it's hard enough looking at someone's one person's form. Let alone 30 jumping around and doing all these certain things, like a lot of injuries. It is good for the getting you into the gym, which is why I like it. So you get a point for that, and you get a point for the community aspect as well, which is really great. But you're going to be seeing basically the same results over and over again, unless you're doing structured workouts outside of the class. So you can get in there for like once. And then you do your structured workouts, another just to, meet people. If it gets you into the gym, then I'm all for it. So you get another point there. But it's still overrated because, yeah, it's not structured at all. Like they'll structure a little bit, but then it's like, well, you're lifting like 4 kilo barbells and then you're like doing chest presses with like 1 kilo dumbbells. You're like, how are you? Like you're just moving your body. Like you could do that anywhere with like some cans of beans or something. Like, where do you don't need to go to a fitness class for that shit. And they're not teaching you anything but wrong technique because they're like, yeah, sweet. So they might be looking at someone else like, great work. And you're like fucking doing totally different thing and you're thinking you're doing the right work because no one's actually checking your form. And then you're looking over at other people that have no idea what they're doing as well. And then you're copying them and you're thinking that that's the right way when really that's their second day in there. It's like, it's a flywheel of shit. So yeah, get out of it. If you can, hire a trainer.
Yeah, I'm so on board with that. I have been asking my gym to get rid of the group fitness for I don't know how long now. I just,
Maybe you can run one.
no, thank you. If I was to do a group fitness class, it would be structured around the big compound lifts. So it'd probably be like a squat, a deadlift, a bench press or an overhead press, and a pull up, and then mobility. That would be the way I would structure it. And it'd be like, let's come in one day and we'll do one of those upper body exercises, one of the lower body exercises. Let's really get good at the craft and skill of that. And then once people are competent, really can push them weight wise and strength wise with that. And then mobility with it as well, because I think that's where a lot of people are in pain or have joint issues or have movement issues is because they're immobile and they don't know how to correct it. So that would be the way I would go if I was to teach a group fitness class.
Yeah. I mean, I taught mobility, just mobility classes back in the day. But I just couldn't get around just normal. You can't, it's not like it's too many people.
No, not unless it's like under 10 and you're watching people go through on the squat and you're just watching people go through and there's a long rest period in between.
Yeah, but I mean, like even then, like there's subtle things that you can miss if you're like looking at that many people.
Oh, that's what I mean. One person in one rack at a time.
Okay, over for 10
And
people.
that's what I mean. It's a long rest period.
Yeah, it would be. I think up to four, maybe max.
Moral of the story. Don't do group fitness classes. Follow a structured training program, and if you can afford it, you'd spend your money on a coach or buy a program from a trusted source online.
Sounds about right.
All right, so that's a wrap for today's episode. We just want to say thank you so much for listening to us. If you have any more overrated, underrated you'd like us to answer, you can leave it on our personal pages or direct message us at brain.body.movement. Now, if you got any value from this episode, we would love for you to share it to your Instagram story. Don't forget to tag us at brain.body.movement, at Brad Dapper, and at Brock underscore Dalgleish so we can say thanks. It would also mean the world to us if you shared it with family and friends and left us a 5-star review. It helps us to expand, get into more people's ears, and ultimately help others. But before we go, if we can leave you with a few things, make your damn bed, get your steps in, and be kind to one another.
Cheers.
All right, overrated. My brain, I'm looking at what I want to say, and my
Yeah.
brain went,
Oh, I know where you stand, man.
thunk.